Tune in every Tuesday at first, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10. And it reads as follows. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. A husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. I want to speak from the subject, a ministering message from a mother. A ministering message from a mother. Now, those of you might think that's a strange topic until you walk back and begin at verse 1 of this 31st chapter and see that the king that spoke these words that his mother had shared with him. He is rehearsing the impactful ministry that his mother had upon his life, even as a grown man now serving as a king. Look at what the words say in verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his who? His mother taught him. Now let me say first thing to mothers, that you've been given a unique ministry as it relates to motherhood. You make the most profound impact upon your children through that connection, divinely so, that God has given to you. It is important that mothers recognize that they shape, they make, or they break the mold that will either give success and guidance or defeat and destruction to their children. Mothers must realize and recognize that the words that they share, be they positive or negative, impact children so deeply that even in years of adulthood, children refer back to the teachings of their mother. Here is one prime example of a man who was a king who thought back upon the teachings of his mother when he was yet a child. So I want to say this to mothers, that you have no idea many times what your child will grow up to be or to become. But what you do know is, while you yet have an opportunity to shape and to mold their lives, don't underestimate the power of teaching and ministering to your child. The devil wants mothers to lay hand off of the realities of the gift that God has given to them. He wants mothers to forget that their role is insignificant. He wants mothers to get so caught up in careers that they forget that they've been given a divine role to instruct and to show and to share with their children the things that make for the right kind of life, where God is feared and honored and placed first in their lives, and then all other things are placed in their proper structure and position. God wants mothers to become so frustrated and full and filled with daily duties until they forget that children are a responsibility, also as a reward and a gift of their own body, that they would somehow shirk the responsibilities of teaching their children the way that they ought to go. I'm impressed by King Lemuel's honor that he gives to his mother. And when I read this chapter immediately and its initial readings, it did not dawn on me until the Holy Spirit brought me back to this first verse to help me understand that what the king was saying didn't come from the king, it came through the king. What the king was saying, his mother had taught him that. Now, may I ask you a question? You know the old saying, it takes one to know one. Who better than a virtuous woman can tell somebody else about a virtuous woman? Who better than a woman can tell you about a woman? A man knows in a limited perspective, and most of that is external, about a woman and about the things that he encounters with a woman. But nobody can tell you like a woman, about a woman, like a woman. And so here is a woman, and notice this now, teaching her son. Mothers, may I tell you that you are partly responsible for teaching your son how to treat a young lady. Mothers, you need to recognize that as you teach your son how to treat you and respect you, you are also teaching him how to treat and respect a young lady. If you don't teach him how to honor and respect you as a mother and as a woman, you do not teach him how to honor and respect a lady or someone that he will soon marry or come into relationship with. And so you must understand, it is important, all that you inbred in him, instill in him, is going to come out of him one day. Now listen at this, mothers, because some of you don't realize that the attitude that you take with teaching your daughters and letting your sons run wild comes back to haunt you. See, it's all right. We put strict chains on the girls. We're hard on the girls, but we let the boys do their thing. Now, my brothers and sisters, I need you to understand here is a man talking about what his mother has taught him. Let's walk through the word and check it out. Look at this, because maybe it'll give us some helpful holy hints as to how we ought to handle our sons. What my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my what? Vows. Now listen at this, because she's bringing home closer and closer not only the reality of their relationship, but also the dedication of her commitment to bringing this child up the way that he should be brought up. It says, listen what she first starts off saying, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. She was raising him up in a royal fashion. She was raising him up in a kingly way. She was raising him up for the position that he would assume in life. And she was saying to him, there are just some things I need to teach you as your mother that you will understand when you grow up and become a man. The first thing that I want to tell you is that you ought not give your strength. And the translation here is to loose women. Do not give your strength to loose women. Now look at what the word says. She's telling him, this is the first thing she's telling him now. Now notice the word said it was a prophecy. She taught him this because she was also helping him to understand if you obey it, you'll be blessed. If you disobey it, you will be cursed. So notice here, she's saying to him, give not thy strength unto women. And if you would search it out, you'll see that it means not women as per real good women and that kind of thing. It's talking about loose women and your strength being all of your essence and your all that you are, and it means, and it's following the same reality, turning over your allegiance and your loyalty to them when that belongs to God. And the reference here would be to Samson when he turned over his strength to Delilah. Now Delilah was a loose woman, and Samson fell in love with a loose woman. And in falling in love with this loose woman, she sold him out, took his strength, and he ultimately wound up dying because he did not have sense enough to understand that a loose woman does not have your best interest at heart. A loose woman is only out for what she can get and a good time she can have, but she has no desire of being the woman that will honor your name and bring you to another level and place in this life. Listen at this. She says to him, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that that destroyeth kings. There is a way that godly folk and folk who of a royal nature can act that will destroy all of their regalness. There are ways that we can act, even being children of the Most High King, that can bring destruction to our lives, even if we have been born into a royal family. There are ways and things we can do that strips and tears down the essence of who we are and all that we are that makes us us, our lineage, and all of the heritage that we have. There are ways that can destroy all of the building up that has come before you. Our negative ways, our wrong ways, our evil ways can tear down everything that's been built up for you. So notice what she's saying to him. She says, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Now she goes on because she's telling him some things. She says, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Now she's schooling him in more than just one area of life. She's dealing with the vices that most times and through scripture have destroyed kings before him. Women have been number one, wine have been number two, and money has been number three. And she's teaching him how to deal with those things so they do not overpower or overtake him, and understanding them in their proper places. Notice here she goes on to say, verse 5, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. She was saying, listen, there are folk who may need to drink to try and drink themselves out of the remembrance of the problems and the sufferings, those who are on poverty levels, in pain and in distress and in disarray, but that's not for kings to do. And you can't drink, because drinking always alters your judgment. Drinking always changes your mind. Drinking always brings you into another spirit, and you cannot administer the law right when you're not administering it with the Spirit of God. Amen. So she's teaching him all of this. Look at what she tells him, verse 8. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such are appointed to destruction. Now she's telling him how to handle justice. Now she's talking about those dumb, she meaning those who are unable to speak for themselves. those who cannot voice their own feelings or sentiments or have the ability to share what is really in their hearts or on their minds or to articulate the realities of that condition. She's saying, I want you to be able to see the situation, analyze the situation, and see injustice being done and speak for those who can't speak for themselves. Look at what she's instilling into the boy. Notice what the Bible says again. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and need. One of the problems with the blessed is that they forget about the rest. Some of us, when we reach a certain point and place, and it's all right to be there because God has said all of this is ours. We're to be blessed and to be on top and to be the lenders and not the borrowers. But the problem is we forget that it is God who has given us wealth. It is God who has opened doors. It is God who has blessed us, and it is not ourselves. So when we get to those points and places and positions, we are to remember those who are less fortunate than ourselves and to deal with them in a sensitive and a merciful manner. Listen to what she's saying. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Yeah. Yeah. Plead their cause. Stand up. Make some realities for them that they would otherwise not have. Change their lives and their condition. And whenever you can be a blessing and whenever you can turn things around, you judge righteously. Because you know what is real is that the world does not want the poor and the needy with them. And Jesus said, the poor you'll have with you always. So God's always going to give you an opportunity to make a difference, to be a blessing, and to show you and to share with you how you can bless and change someone else's life. Now we finally get to where I was trying to get to in the beginning. She tells him, who can find a virtuous woman? Now look at what the word says. For her price is far above rubies. Who can find this virtuous woman? This woman who is morally, spiritually, and in every other realm of life together and fitly placed to be the kind of woman that anybody, children, husband, and God can be proud of. A virtuous woman who desires to do what the Lord wants done. Over and oppose and against that the world is pulling and tugging and telling her to do. She paints a picture to her son. And if you would look at this and if you'd follow the trend of thought here, what she was really saying to him was, and he got that in his spirit because he reiterates this reality, he rehearses this reality, he re-speaks this reality, he's going to get a woman like mama. Now, sad is the mother whose son don't want a wife like you. Can I get one witness somewhere? Because it obviously means you've not shown enough virtue. You've not shown the right way. You've not instilled enough truth. You've not disciplined, but yet been lenient enough to give him time and place to grow and all of these things. So notice here, he's remembering this now, and he's uttering these words because they are coming back in his consciousness. He wants a virtuous woman, and all that he is remembering is what mother has already been. What better teacher of a virtuous woman than a mother right there in the home? What better teacher of a virtuous woman and showing a son what a mother and a wonderful wife should be like than that's displayed in the home? What better way can you show a son what he ought to look for when he gets ready to get a wife than a mother who is everything she ought to be, both to her children and to her husband? Men, listen, know how they ought to be treated when they're treated right by their mothers at home. Now listen at this. Listen at this. A good mother is going to show just like, and when Father's Day come, I'll say the difference there. Because a good woman, listen, knows how to teach her son what he ought to look for in a good woman. Now listen at this, women, because you need to know this. A virtuous woman is a woman who is multifaceted, multi-talented, and not just one-dimensional. Listen, a virtuous woman ought to have more to offer than just fun in bed. She ought to have something in her head. She ought to have something in her heart. She ought to be able to use her hands. She ought to be able to do the things that's going to bless her children and her husband. This man watched this woman. He's, remember, this is what mother taught him, and he's rehearsing this long years later as a man and a king. Look at what the word says. He says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of who?
Her life.
Her life. Now, he's looking at that because he remembered how mother treated daddy. Yeah. Not only did she teach him that, but he watched and observed that. Now notice here, go on, because I want you to see this. The Bible says, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Now, nobody's got to force her to see her responsibility, her job, and her duties. She's not a lazy woman that walks around with a robe and an old gown on all day, rollers in her head from the morning till the evening time. Look at this, because I want you to see this. The Bible says, verse 14, she is like the merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth up also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Now look at this, because it's important for you to see how this woman functions and all that she does. She imports and exports her goods. She's a businesswoman, has an ability from her. Now you want to talk about home business. This woman started home businesses. She worked from her home and sold and dealt with the merchants, but she never left the responsibility of home or her divine rights as a mother's go undone for taking care of the business. Some of our mothers are too career-minded that we're forgetting that we're divinely appointed to be mothers, to instill and raise children the way God said. Yeah. Now listen at this. The Bible says, while it's yet night, she gets up and she gives food to her family. And I looked at that and I researched it. And it wasn't meaning just getting up and fixing breakfast. But what it meant was that she prepared spiritual food as well as physical food. In other words, she got up and talked with God. She got up and had communion with God. Can I tell you, the only way you can be a virtuous woman is to stay connected with God, because there are things that will tend to disconnect you. But she was so caught up every morning with talking with God first while everybody was still sleeping. And once she got the spiritual food together so she could encourage them, so she could minister to them, then she started cooking. You ever woke up early one morning and mama was cooking and humming at the same time? That's because she had already had her talk with Jesus and had already gotten her spiritual mind straight. So when you woke up because the bacon was smelling, when you woke up because the coffee was brewing, when you woke up because the biscuits were baking, it's because mother had already gotten up and had her talk with the Lord and gotten her business straight. Listen at that. But not only did she do that, but she had already gotten the schedule for the day ready for her maids. So when the day started, she said, now I want you to do this, I want you to do that. Was able to be an administrator and an organizer. Y'all ought to hear me here this morning. Listen at this. Listen. The Bible says, she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planted a vineyard. She consider the field and buy. Now all of this is happening, and you've got to look at her position. One of the things I want you to walk back up to and see is this. Verse 11. The Bible says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Now let me tell you something, brothers. When you've got a virtuous woman, you need to relax your pride.
I'm the man of this house.
Sometimes brothers ain't got an ounce of business sense. Now here is what you need to hear, brothers. If you've got a woman who you can safely trust in, a virtuous woman, your wife, who will do you good all of her life And you don't ever have to worry about her not handling the business right. You don't ever have to worry about her being deceitful and distrustful. Why don't you learn that she's a gift from God? And if she can do business better than you, then learn how to take the money and place it in her hands and trust that she knows how to make better investments than you, because she's never ever going to do anything that's going to undermine you. Matter of fact, she's so good, she's going to say, baby, I was looking the other day and I saw this property. I think we ought to get it. I've got the money here. I've saved the money here. Let's do this. Now notice here, because all of this is a part of her virtue here. She's always looking to better the condition, broaden the base, make investments. Now she has, through her own hands, made clothes, sold them, made profit from the home, ministered, and done all of these things. And she has some monies she has made herself. But look at this now. Look at this. The Bible says, let's go back to verse 16. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. Now verse 17 says, she girded her loins with strength and strengthened her arms. Listen at this now. She keeps herself and her family in good health. That's what that's talking about here when it talks about she girdeth her loins with strength and strengthen herself. One of the things she recognizes is that if she's going to be in the pivotal role that she plays as a mother, as a wife, as a businesswoman, and on and on and on and on, that she's going to have to be healthy and strong to play the role that she plays, because she wears more hats in that family than anybody does. And because she has so much riding on her and so much that she's responsible and accountable for, she makes sure that she takes care of herself. Yeah. Now listen at this, women, because you've got to take care of yourself. And the problem with too many of us is we don't understand that it is important, if you're going to take care of others, you've got to first take care of yourself. Yeah. Let me give you an illustration of this in a worldly sense. I was riding on the plane the other day, and again, the Spirit of God reminded me as they were going through all of the instructions in case there were, you know, problems on the plane, et cetera, and so forth, if, you know, if it ran out of oxygen or something like that, and on. But one of the things that hit me was that they said, if you were riding with a child or someone who becomes incapacitated and there's a loss of oxygen, the first thing they said is, put the mask on yourself. And then assist the other person. Now here's what you got to know. You can't help somebody until you yourself, you, not them, are in a position where you are able to give help. You can't bless nobody until you yourself are blessed. And so here she keeps her health strong, and then she strengthens her family and keeps them in good health. Why? Because she knows all of that is a part of her responsibility. And when you understand this and when you see this, you're going to recognize that the role and the responsibility, and later it talks about the rewards of a virtuous woman, are gifts from God in themselves and are praises and blessings from a family.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you, and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
KAYT, Shreveport Greenwood, 92.5.
James Brodnick's Ministries presents the Master Key Program for disciplining your mind for good health, success, prosperity, and blessings. Apostle Brodnick will teach you biblical principles and proven techniques right out of the Word of God that will establish you into abundant living. The Bible tells us that God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This ministry is designed to help you perfect your faith. Now, here is your host, Apostle Brodnick.
God bless you. This is Apostle James Brodnick, your friend and your apostle of prayer. Well, I am just overexcited about what the Lord Jesus is doing through this miracle working prayer blessing ministry. Yes, the Lord Jesus is blessing ordinary people with all kinds of blessings of good health, blessings of success, and blessings of prosperity.